36 to 50. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. See, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped him with her hair, kissing them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you."
"Tell me, teacher," he said.
"Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled."
"You have judged correctly," Jesus said.
Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Let's pause together again and pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of offering to you our soul's expression. We come feeling unworthy. We come dealing with trouble and trials and difficulties. We come to you with great joy because of our standing in Christ, having nothing to do with that except by faith believing. We come to you whole and perfect in your eyes because of your Son. We ask you now, Lord, to teach us from your word. What is the meaning here that you want us to grasp? How is this to change the way we see and think and feel about Christ and about our lives? We need your Spirit to instruct us, Lord. And we thank you ahead of time because we know that that's his role in our lives. And so we surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus accepts an invitation from a Pharisee whose name we find is Simon for dinner. What are the Pharisees up to? Why was Jesus invited? As a special guest? Perhaps they're curious about who this guy is and they would like a private audience with him. They've seen him ministering among lots of people, but now they'd like to sort of get him alone to examine him a little more closely, to formulate some thoughts and ideas and opinions, perhaps judgments, evaluations concerning Jesus. And so Christ is very cooperative. He's open to this invitation and he comes and he enters into the room and he reclines at table with this room of religious leaders. He's not naive to what they're up to, but he's engaging them socially and he's making himself very vulnerable. And we find here that he really does love them. He's at Simon's house. While he's there, a woman, we read, from the city, who is a sinner, A woman that most people already were acquainted with, some perhaps more familiar with than others. They've seen her. They've watched her from a distance. They know who she is. She comes in. She's a sinner. They know she's a sinner. Well, she's identified as such. But weren't the Pharisees sinners too? Of course they were. But she was a sinner by trade as well as personally. And what does she do? She comes finding Jesus, looking for Christ. And as I said in the chat, maybe she had seen him on other occasions, pressed in to hear his words, and for the first time in her life had felt touched by someone who could maybe meet some deeper need in her life. That the Pharisees certainly didn't meet. Oh, they taught her and told her what she should be doing and what she was like, and she felt this sentence upon her from them. But for Jesus, it was different. There was a connection, and there was something in her that drove her to find him. And she overcame the stigma and the humiliation that would be involved, and the need to sort of push her way in, because she was desperate to find him. She brings with her this alabaster jar or vial of perfume, which was probably something she used in her business, a very expensive perfume. And she brings it to give it to Christ. She stands behind him. There's probably very little eye contact going on between her and Christ. She's outside of his field of vision. He's reclining there at table, and his legs are probably behind him. And she kneels at his feet, and she weeps. We're told that her tears are tears of sorrow mingled with love and affection. Remorse, and yet love. Is that possible? It's like she finally found the person who could meet her soul's deepest needs, she believes. And she wets his feet with her hair. Her tears are directed toward her feet. They do not just fall on the floor. She is using her own tears as the water to wash his feet. How precious this picture is. Jesus takes it in. And then she takes her beautiful hair, what Scripture describes as the woman's glory. You know, most women keep their hair clean and shiny and put lots of care into it. And she removes it from its braid and she begins to use it as a wash rag, a sponge, to wipe the dirt off of his dusty feet. She pours the vial of perfume, expensive perfume, on his feet as well. And all this is mingled to show that she loves the Lord Jesus. She kisses his feet with lips that were probably used for other purposes. This was not a seductive reference. This was an expression of affection to Christ. She anoints his feet with the perfume. She kisses him. And what does Simon observe? I can imagine the Pharisees' response at this point. It's like, we came to evaluate Jesus and to ask him questions and to hear his opinions and to formulate some ideas of our own about who he is. And now we've got this interruption here. This woman, why doesn't she just leave? But then Simon's watching all along and he's thinking, this is going on a little too long. If Jesus were really a prophet, God would have told him that she was a sinner. And certainly, implied here is that he wouldn't have treated her this way or allowed this to go on. You see, Simon had this view of God. He had this view of God that God doesn't like sinners. That God wants people to clean up their act before they come to him. Get rid of it and then come to me. Be righteous. Follow the law. Do the right things. All those 630 laws that Bryce talked about last week. Do those things and then you're good enough to come into the presence of God and worship. But Jesus was accepting her just as she was. So the Pharisees are a bit confused and disappointed. But Simon, being the gracious host that he is, he doesn't even express these thoughts to Jesus. And yet, Jesus knows what Simon's thinking. And he says, Simon, yes, he addresses this Pharisee by name, a personal reference, because he wants to get Simon's attention. And notice, Jesus almost asks Simon's permission to say what he's about to say. He says, I have something to say to you. It's like he's saying, truly, truly, verily, verily, are you listening? He who has ears to hear. Simon, I want you to catch something. Can I say something to you? There is this gentleness about Jesus, even as he talks to Simon. Because he cares about Simon too. The person who is filled with his own righteousness, Jesus is compassionate toward as well as the woman who comes to him for forgiveness. He says, Simon, I'd like to say something to you. There's a story I'd like to tell you. A money lender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. A denarii was about a day's wages of a common laborer. So he owed this money lender about, say, 9.5 years, a little over 9 years of wages, given the fact that someone would probably pay off their debt little by little over a long period of time. And it was also customary for them to add interest to their debt. The other person owed about 50 denarii. That's like 10 times less than the other person. He says, both of these men were unable to repay their debt. When the debts came due, neither one could repay. The money lender was kind enough to dismiss, he uses the term forgive, their debts. So forgiveness is oftentimes seen in the scriptures as a financial transaction of canceling the debt owed. He could have put them on some kind of a payment plan, you know, for umpteen years at such and such a rate. Or he could have milked this for what it's worth and said, okay, you guys, I'll forgive you, but you know, you owe me some special favors, you know. Shovel my driveway, take out my trash, watch my house when I'm on vacation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and once in a while, I'll remind you of your debt and keep you in your place. But instead, he takes their debt and he just writes, paid in full, canceled, and he puts it in his archives so that in case anyone ever brings that up again, he can show them, nope, their debt is canceled. It has been forgiven completely. So Jesus' question to Simon here is, which one of these men do you think will love his money lender more? The one who owed 500 or the guy who owed 50? Simon, who had been accustomed to making judgments and was in fact had already judged Jesus for the way that he had allowed this woman to carry on, was on this. I know. I suppose it's the person who was forgiven the 500 denarii. To which Jesus replies, you're right, Simon. You've answered this correctly. The one who has been forgiven much loves more than the one who is forgiven little. Have you ever heard the testimony of someone who's been sort of on death's door? They've been in the pit. They've done everything. They've bottomed out. And then Christ saves them. And you listen to their testimony and you say, wow, the grace of God to transform a person's life. And they're just overflowing with joy and with love because they know what they've been forgiven. All of us are sinners, but those who have been forgiven much have a tendency to appreciate it more. Jesus applies this parable to Simon and he says, Simon, I want you to think about this. Do you see this woman? Do you still see her? She's kissing my feet. She's crying. She's anointing me with perfume. She's wiping my feet with her hair. She's worshiping and adoring me. She's expressing her affection to me. I want you to re-examine this situation. I want you to look with different glasses now. And I want you to see it the way I see it. And I want you to do so by comparing her with the person in the mirror. Yes. Take an honest look at yourself for a moment. Folks, we don't oftentimes do this, do we? It's too painful. Sometimes people will tell us what they see and we think, ugh, ouch, stop yelling at me. And they may not be yelling, they may just be telling you. But it feels abrasive. It pricks, it hurts. Well, look at yourself. When I came into your house and I was your guest, I felt this distance between us immediately. It was the fact that you didn't kiss me. The customary greeting wasn't given me. You didn't wash my feet or even offer me water for my feet. I sat down with you, but you didn't put any perfume on my feet or anoint me. This was, in a sense, hospitality light. I felt like, and I'm putting words in Christ's mouth, but you had all these friends here and you could not give me the kind of greeting because you were afraid of what they might think about you in relation to me. Have you ever felt that way? You hold back, you're reserved, because that person doesn't really fit in to your friend base or your idea of what people should be. And so we hold back. Jesus says, you see the difference here? She did it all and is still doing it and you have withheld. Yours is a sin of omission. Yours is the lack of expression of love. Yours is what you didn't do, not what you did do. Because you had something else in mind. You weren't after the same thing she was after. She was after a relationship. She was after forgiveness. She was after change. She brought her vial to me because she was going to leave it with me. This was a sign of true repentance. She wasn't going to go back to it. But you had no intention of any kind of personal change. And so Jesus turns to the woman and he says to Simon in her presence, he says, for this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Everybody owes a debt. God is the lender. We all owe our debt to Him. Every one of us are sinners. David writes, well, against you and you only, Lord, have I sinned in Psalm 51. Those who have been forgiven much tend to love their gracious Lord more than those who see that their sins are rather minor. And so he makes this pronouncement to Simon. There is this personal, powerful declaration made to the woman. Your sins have been forgiven. There's three things to note about Jesus as he forgives her sins. First, it's the authority of Christ. He's the one that forgives. And he says, canceled. Secondly, it's past tense. Have been forgiven. Even though she had not confessed, he knew her heart, what she was doing there. It didn't matter that she actually said the words. Her actions spoke louder than anything she could have said. And Jesus knows what she was thinking. Her forgiveness is complete, not partial. Though they are many, have been forgiven. That means everything she'd ever done, regardless of how severe, how low, completely forgiven. Do you know, my friends, that when you come to Christ, your debt is canceled forever? The sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, and he chooses to remember them no more. He chooses to forget that you were a sinner. He gives you the position of a son or a daughter. And he clothes you with the righteousness of Christ. That's now how Jesus saw this woman of the city. She was a child of God, clothed in his garments of righteousness, elevated to a position of respect and honor and dignity because of a relationship with Jesus. But Simon, we don't know that he changed. We do know that the reaction of those who were reclining at table with Simon, they were aghast. Who is this who even forgives sins? I mean, we have seen him heal the sick, cast out demons, exert power over nature. But now to enter into the realm of the spiritual and to cancel someone's debt, this was a practice by which Jesus would be in trouble for in the future. They'd want to kill him because they knew exactly what Jesus was saying about himself, that he had the prerogative of God, that he was himself equal with the Father. Blasphemy, unless it were true. With authority and confidence, Jesus forgives her. And then he says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." She's forgiven because of her faith. Her faith was demonstrated not in words, but in the fact that she pushed her way into Simon's house and knelt at Jesus' feet and cried at his feet. These were not acts that saved her, but they were an expression of what was going on in her heart. That she believed that Jesus was the answer to the loneliness and the desperate state of her soul. And she found peace with God through Christ. Her faith had saved her. And her salvation then results in peace. Peace with God and peace with herself. All the conflicting thoughts, the condemning conscience, the feelings that other people are looking at her and condemning her as she walks down the street, they have been removed. She's at peace with herself because she has made peace with God. And that's the most amazing part of our salvation, is that we can be people who possess peace. And then Jesus says, go. He doesn't say, come and follow me. He says, you go. And as she went, I'm sure that she told her story about the man who forgave her all her sins. As she went, I'm sure that she extended the same grace that she had received to those who were in her debt. Said, I forgive you. How could I not? Look what God has done for me. And I'm sure that as she went, she did leave this alabaster vial behind. She had given it to Christ. She showed true repentance. She came knowing that there was going to be an end of her existence as it had been and a new start. because she was coming to the life-changing Savior. And as we come to Christ, we come with repentant hearts. We turn from our sins. We receive Him, and He enters in and transforms us into new creatures in Christ. Have you come to Christ? Have you been transformed? Have you found the mercy and the grace of God? Have you knelt at His feet and wept tears of love mingled with sorrow and sensed His wash, His cleansing blood wash every sin from your being? And you and I, who, like Simon, say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I have really been doing the right thing with my life. Do we understand that we are administrators of this same grace that we have experienced? We are not to judge and condemn those who have sinned. We are to see them as people whom Christ loves and who He wants to redeem for Himself. And instead of judging and condemning, we ought to be bringing them along to the Savior and saying, this is where your sins can be forgiven. Have you experienced that? What's your life like? What's my life like? Let's re-examine ourselves and allow the grace of God to minister through us to those who are in need. Let's pray. Our Father God, we ask that You would help us to take an honest look at our own lives today. We thank You that You have given us Your Son, to whom we flee for forgiveness, for restoration, for salvation. We thank You, Lord, that on the cross all our sins have been forgiven, and that we stand before You righteous. And Lord, as we minister to people now in our community, in our own church, who may not know You, we pray that You might help us to be dispensers of that grace that we have received, to be ambassadors, to communicate Your love, that we all might live in a manner that glorifies and honors You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Go in peace.